from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, I want to circle back to our discussion from yesterday when we talked about the finalized 26-man roster, how we thought it might have played out. I actually want to make a huge correction to some of my logic there yesterday. And I also want to talk about the poll results when I asked about if people were interested in live streams of MLB The Show or Out of the Park Baseball. So I want to talk about those results. And I also want to talk about the fact that I started streaming the show kind of just for fun without having a microphone, which is an ironic thing to be saying as I come to you with a really high quality microphone here. So I'll explain that. I'll explain the fact that I don't have video, and I'll explain what I did yesterday and just kind of gauge interest to see how that sits with you, the listener. But first, I really felt all day yesterday like I needed to make a massive correction to the logic that I was using yesterday to guess what the 26-man roster would have looked like. What I realized, and I can't believe I wasn't thinking about this, is that all of those non-roster invitees whom I put on the opening day roster, on the Major League roster, all of them would have had to be added to the 40-man roster, which is currently, I don't have a count here, but it looks like 40 guys. I mean, it's either 40 or maybe it's 39 or something, but you can't just add these non-roster invitees to the Major League roster without also adding them to the 40-man. And in order to do so on a full 40-man, you have to designate guys for assignment. So I had Jerry Blevins, Trevor Cahill, Tyson Ross, I think Andrew Triggs, Nick Vincent, Tyler Heineman, Darren Ruff, Yolmer Sanchez, I can't remember if I had him on there or not, Billy Hamilton, all making the team. And that's 9 guys. So that's just a ridiculous thing to say. So I'm sure some of you were listening and probably realized that. So I do apologize. That's part of what makes this whole calculation confusing, because you have to weigh the pros and cons. You have to decide, do I want Trevor Cahill on my team? Because that does mean I have to bump somebody off the 40-man roster in order to get him on there. So it makes those decisions a little tougher. And so, you know, they're only, with that in mind, there are only a few guys who I do think would have made the team out of those non-roster invitees. I do think Trevor Cahill was probably going to make this team, and I stand by my assertion that he may very well have been in the starting rotation. But then beyond that, I'm not sure Tyson Ross makes it. I'm not sure Triggs or Vincent make it. One of the catchers would have had to be added. I mean, whether it was Brantley or Heineman or somebody coming from outside the organization, they didn't have anybody else currently on the 40-man roster who was a catcher. The only catchers on the 40-man roster are Aramis Garcia and Buster Posey. And Garcia is on the 60-day injured list, which I believe means that he's, or it clears up an extra spot, even though he is still on it, technically. But so anyway, they would have had to add a catcher, which would have meant somebody gets bumped off the 40-man. And then, you know, to have Darren Ruff on the team, that also means a 40-man spot has to go away from somebody currently on there, and Billy Hamilton as well. So I'm just shrinking the list. I think they would have found a way to get Hamilton on there, maybe Darren Ruff, maybe Yolmer Sanchez, a catcher, and Trevor Cahill. So that's 5 guys. I mean, that would have been tough enough as it was. There aren't that many guys. I mean, Tyler Beede, I don't know if they already put him on the 60-day injured list, but that's a way you could clear one spot. Anderson Franco potentially is a guy who they could DFA. Andy Suarez may or may not have been on the bubble there. I mean, he's on the 40-man roster, but I think there were like guys who were above him on the depth chart, even though they're not on the 40-man roster. So it could be all the times we saw Suarez in spring was like, hey, you really need to figure this out because we are considering you're someone who's on the fringe of the 40-man roster. Besides that, Abiatal Avellino, I mean, does he really have a path to playing time in San Francisco at any point? Chris Shaw may have been a fringe guy here. And beyond that, maybe Joe McCarthy, but I think they probably like him more than Shaw. So some of those guys were certainly on the bubble, and it would have been very interesting to see the direction that they went in order to bring on non-roster invitees onto the 40-man roster. Who was going to get bumped off? So anyway, just I know for all of you who listened intently to my logic yesterday, I apologize, but just throw it all out the window. I don't stand by it at all at this point. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter because the season doesn't actually start tomorrow as it would have, which is very, very sad. But in its place, I have decided to at least experiment with doing some live streaming and potentially talking about it in detail as well. And something I didn't mention in the open is that I streamed some MLB The Show last night despite not having a working microphone for streaming and not having a video of myself. I have obviously the video of the stream of the game. But I actually did it. Some people were watching, and we made a lot of moves. Like, we took on the 2020 Giants as a franchise, kind of it just loads their current roster as it is now. And I made a bunch of trades. And so I want to talk about just the streaming idea in general, and then also break down some of those trades in the second half of the show. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com /MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com /MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. What are you doing for the game? A universal question. Whether the casual follower, the tweets everything, the beginner, the diehard, the stat nerd, the smack talker, the appetizer guy, the couldn't care less, or the makes everything into a competition person, we all have our place in the sports world. The same personalities apply to fantasy sports, and League Commish exists to ensure your fantasy sports experience is the best one for you. We match managers to leagues as we lay the foundation for your new league. It's as easy as sign up with your preferences, get matched, and approve of that match before any commitment on your end. Sign up with League Commish and receive 15% off by entering in the code LOCKEDON in the referred by section of the sign up form. The first 25 people to sign up using our code receive their first match free. What are you doing for the game? Find your next fantasy sports league at leaguecommish.com. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to talk about the streaming thing and just kind of what we did yesterday and kind of just throw it out there and see what you think about what the direction that we're going with this and if we should change course. I have a lot of different thoughts about this. So the first thing I'll say is that 68 people voted on the poll in which I asked, would you rather do the stream with MLB The Show or Out of the Park Baseball? And 60% of those 68 voted for the show, 23.5%, so 24% voted for Out of the Park Baseball, and 16% just wanted to see the results. So it is strongly in favor of the show. I know people who feel strongly about Out of the Park Baseball feel very strongly, and so I definitely am keeping that in mind. It's just something I'm less familiar with, but I'm definitely not throwing it out, but I think for right now, in the very short term, we're going to try doing the show, and Out of the Park Baseball remains on my radar and something I feel like I need to learn more about how to do it before I just jump in and start trying to do it, because I tried that with last year's version and I was kind of lost and not entirely sure what was going on. So MLB The Show, I'm very familiar with this game. I play it every year. I've been buying it and playing it every year since it came out. And I like it. And the problem is it's a little bit too easy on franchise mode. And maybe that's a problem and maybe it isn't. So I want to talk about what did I do yesterday and is that a good idea moving forward? So what I did, I took over the 2020 Giants in franchise mode and I immediately simmed up to yesterday's date. So we were suddenly present day. It was March 24th. We were playing the A's in San Francisco in that last exhibition game before the season. But before playing the game, I went in and tried to make some trades as if I was really running the 2020 Giants. And I made a bunch of trades in this game and then ultimately ended up starting the regular season. And again, this was all live streamed on YouTube, by the way. And I put it on Twitter. I like sent out the link on Twitter. You should follow me on YouTube. I used to have a bigger channel and then I deleted it. So now I have like no followers. I have a handful of followers, but used to be more, made a lot of videos, but they all disappeared when I deleted the account. So new account, I can't remember the name. It's either Ben Caspic or Covecast. But anyway, I was streaming this and made a bunch of trades. So I want to talk about those trades at a glance to kind of explain why it may be a little bit too easy. And then I want to pose the question, should I keep doing that or should I kind of keep the roster core Giants and make only trades that I deem to be realistic? Because like 99% of these trades that I made, like maybe out of all the trades I made, only one of them may have been slightly realistic. So the first thing I was able to do is I acquired Yu Darvish from the Cubs in exchange for Jeff Samardzija and Chadwick Tromp. So what the logic there is that Samardzija is a rental, and I thought the game was maybe overrating him a little bit based on the season he had last year. And Yu Darvish, I mean, he was phenomenal down the stretch with the Cubs in 2019. He just was totally dominant. And so here I'm getting 3 years of control for Darvish, even though it's at a hefty $20 million-ish a year. I'm getting like really strong starting pitching for a rental of Jeff Samardzija. I don't think there's any chance in real life the Cubs would have done this, but I did it here. The next thing I did is I was able to dump Evan Longoria's contract onto the Rangers, who kind of needed a third baseman. And I did it by acquiring Todd Frazier, who's like probably a little worse than Longoria or maybe about the same, but signed to just a one-year $5 million deal. So I got out from underneath that long-term commitment to Longoria and ended up with a much cheaper and much less long-term commitment to Todd Frazier. Then I acquired the like uber prospect Luis Robert from the White Sox for Hunter Bishop and a couple of no names, including Jake Jewell. So that's not realistic, but we got Luis Robert, who signed to like an 8-year extension for super cheap. So that was great to bring in. I then traded for Stephen Vogt because I kind of miss that left-handed compliment to Posey. I got Vogt and Jake Lamb from the Diamondbacks for Tyler Heineman, which doesn't make any sense. I then thought the bullpen was a little weak, so I got Emilio Pagan from the Padres in exchange for Nick Vincent and Aramis Garcia. I then wanted to bolster kind of a left-handed bat in the infield and ended up with Luis Arraez from the Twins in exchange for Alex Dickerson, Derek Rodriguez, and Brandon Van Horn. So that, you know, I actually gave up quite a bit there. I was seeing what could I get for a package of Dickerson and Rodriguez, because teams value Rodriguez in this game. I mean, he's got some upside, Dickerson as well. But I thought the youth and superior, like Rodriguez wasn't really in my pitching plans for this 2020 Giants team. And I thought Arraez fit the team a little better as an infielder because I also went out and signed Yasiel Puig for the outfield. And remember, he has the reverse platoon splits. So I was pairing him still in like a platoon with Hunter Pence, acting like he's left-handed, basically. And then he became a little redundant with Dickerson because I also had Yastrzemski in right. And in center, I still had Billy Hamilton, and I acquired the uber-talented prospect Luis Robert from the White Sox. So Dickerson became expendable. I paired him with D-Rod to get Arraez, who plays second base and bats left-handed. I then thought that Brandon Crawford was expendable a little bit when I looked at my infield mix, and I had Donovan Solano, who I like, I had Yolmer Sanchez, who I like, and I had Arraez at second base. So those guys could kind of shift to the left side and play more shortstop. And suddenly I thought Crawford was expendable and I wanted to shed that contract. And I paired him with Logan Webb to acquire John Gray from the Rockies, and Gray has like 4 or 5 years of team control. I think it's like 4. So I just massively upgraded the Giants, in my opinion. I also signed Puig to a 2-year, $15 million deal. Tried to sign him for 1 year, but he wouldn't accept, so I had to make it a 2-year deal, and that was the number that he accepted. I also signed Pat Neshek to a 1-year, $3.4 million deal to bolster the bullpen a little bit more, because I think I had to DFA some guys in order to bring in all these new players, and one of them or two of them or five of them were relievers, so I wanted to bolster the pen a little bit. So anyway, did all that and then played 3 games, like actually 3 9-inning games against the Dodgers as if it was opening day, and then the next 2 games after that. I got destroyed in the first 2 games. I was over-anxious at the plate. I was chasing pitches. I was hitting a lot of balls hard, but just like right at people. So only scored 1 run in each of the first 2 games. But then in game 3, John Gray, making his Giants debut, went 5 innings, 7 Ks, 2 hits, no runs. Really strong outing. And the offense kind of broke through. Mike Yastrzemski hit a triple and a double and then a big 2-run homer in the 7th inning that made it 3-0. And then we went on to win 5-0. So maybe realistic losing 2 out of 3 in LA to open the season. I want to know if that was at all interesting to you. Hearing about that game, that little sequence with all the trades, potentially watching those games, I plan on continuing to do that. Would you be interested in that? And would you be interested if instead I only made trades that I thought would actually be realistic? Or would you be interested in me just trying to make this team as good as possible, as quickly as possible? So I want to hear your feedback. Of course, I do want to get a working microphone and camera, which is like essential to a live stream of video games. The microphone I use for this podcast does not work with like a computer or a PlayStation controller. It plugs into something called a digital recorder with an XLR cable. So it's not really compatible with, you know, handheld devices. So I plan on ordering one of those, it's as simple as that, and figuring it out and getting that set up. And this is something we'll probably continue to do. It will not be the only thing we talk about on the show, but you know, it's definitely something we can do. And if you feel like just tuning in, you can basically watch a baseball game, and I'll try not to lose. But you know, I think it's more real. I shouldn't be winning every game either, because then it's a little, you know, it's got to be a challenge, right? Otherwise, it's not worth it when you win. So anyway, that was a totally scrambled episode, but that's where we're at. I look forward to hearing your feedback. That is all the time we have for today, though. Remember to get this show every day. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. And follow me on YouTube as well. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB. Thanks for listening, and until then, we'll see you next time.